This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, June 26, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the global stock sell-off stalls. We will take you around the world for the very latest.
Chinese stocks pare their losses but still enter a bear market.
The maker of Jack Daniel's whiskey is the latest to say it'll have to raise prices because of a trade war.
President Trump was in South Carolina to talk about trade and immigration. It comes as there are more high-stakes primaries today in several states. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, mixed results for the Yankees and the Mets, and the NBA hands out its hardware.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective, no K-1 commodity ETFs. Visit graniteshares.com for more information. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
And European shares are advancing while U.S. stock index futures are little change. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 1.5 points, Dow futures down 10, NASDAQ futures up 4, the DAX in Germany is up 0.25%, CAC in Paris up 0.4%, the FTSE 100 up 0.5%, Nikkei 225 in Japan little change, Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.88%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 17 cents at $68.25 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8%, down $10.60 at $12.58.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1660, the yen, 109.78. And this data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Bob.
And as we've heard from Karen, we're seeing some stabilization in the markets this morning following yesterday's sell-off in the U.S. Let's begin our global team coverage with Juliet Sully in Singapore, where stocks pared their losses but still closed in a bear market.
Bob and Karen, the Shanghai Composite closed lower by 0.5% to 2,844 points, a 2-year low and down 20% from its peak. Analysts say the sell-off in China could continue as the trade feud with the US, coupled with yuan weakness and concern about China's economic growth, continues to rattle sentiment. The yuan weakened 0.21% Tuesday to its lowest level since December 28. Elsewhere, the topics closed higher by 0.2% after earlier in the session entering correction territory. Markets in India, Thailand and Indonesia also posted gains, while Hong Kong stocks fluctuated. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak. And now for the latest action in European markets, let's go live to my colleague Sebastian Salek in London.
Thanks, Juliet. The sell-off pausing in Europe, the major national index is higher, and most sectors up on the Stock 600 as well, the benchmark index. You've got a move out of the havens, gold and bunds, and an interesting story from the UK, BMW warning that it will have to pull back on investment in the country if a Brexit deal isn't reached that ensures goods can flow freely to the European Union. You've had the UK chief of BMW coming out and saying that the company is not weighing a Brexit production move. So contradictory messages, but it joins a rising chorus of businesses. The likes of Airbus and JLR also say that they're going to have to change the way they do business if a satisfactory Brexit deal is not delivered. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Radio. Bob.
Sebastian, thank you. A top advisor to President Trump is trying to ease investor concern over White House trade policy. And Bloomberg's John Tucker is live with more. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro says a Treasury Department report later this week on U.S. restrictions on foreign investment won't be as sweeping as markets are anticipating. He commented after losses on the S&P 500 topped 2% at one point yesterday. Sheila Patel, Goldman Sachs Asset Management International CEO, summed it up for many investors, saying, we've turned more cautious.
There may actually be something pretty substantial done by the U.S. that generates a reaction from China, from the EU.
The trade tensions are hitting home on Monday. Harley-Davidson said it will be moving some production offshore. The Washington Post reports 60 workers at Mid-Continent Nail, that's America's largest nail manufacturing, lost their jobs at a factory in Missouri. Now, the maker of Jack Daniels will have to raise prices for American whiskey sold in the European Union. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John with us live. Thank you. China and the European Union vowed to oppose trade protectionism in an apparent rebuke to the U.S., saying unilateral actions risk pushing the world into a recession. Vice Premier Liu He, President Xi Jinping's top economic advisor, spoke to reporters through an interpreter in Beijing.
The two sides are committed to defending the multilateral trading system, which is centered on the WTO and based on rules. Efforts should be made to promote economic globalization that's more open, inclusive, balanced, and beneficial to all. Reform the multilateral trading system to advance with the times and improve the global governance system. China believes this aligns well with the roadmap and timetable of China's reform and opening up.
The U.S. is due to impose tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese imports July 6th.
And we are watching these headlines cross the Bloomberg. We're going to bring you more on GE right now. In a strategic review announcement, the company says it will focus on aviation, power, and renewable energy, fully separating Baker Hughes, and GE shares up 1.7% right now. Healthcare is going to become a standalone company. GE expects to monetize 20% and distribute the remaining 80% of GE Healthcare to shareholders tax-free. And we'll bring you more on this story throughout the morning. Bob.
Karen, thank you. The Dow Jones Industrial Average's 1.3% drop yesterday sent it below its 200-day average. That ended a streak above a key trend line that at 501 days was the longest in 3 decades. Michael Hewson is market analyst for CMC Markets in London.
We've broken the 200-day moving average on the Dow, but I'm more interested in the S&P 500, and that still remains well clear of it. And for me to signal a significant technical break, I think both indexes have to cross the 200-day moving average. Otherwise, we run the risk of having a false break.
The S&P 500 dropped 1.4% yesterday. That's the most since April.
And futures this morning are little changed to lower now. S&P futures down about 3 points. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures down about a point. And the 10-year Treasury is little changed. And GE shares up more than 2% now. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. And the president holds another of those campaign-style rallies. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with details. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump is maintaining that he's taking action to deal with unfair and discriminatory trade practices. Trump spoke to a crowd last night in West Columbia, South Carolina. He called on Congress to fix the immigration system.
The Democrats don't like ICE. These are great, brave, tough people. These people are much tougher than MS-13. They don't like Border Patrol. They don't like your police. They don't like anybody.
Trump campaigned for Republican Governor Henry McMaster ahead of today's runoff against businessman John Warren. Mississippi also holds a Republican gubernatorial runoff. Meanwhile, primary contests take place today, including Utah, Colorado, Oklahoma, and Maryland. Here in New York, voters will settle two of the more contentious intra-party battles of the congressional primary season, with incumbent Republican Representative Dan Donovan under threat from a bid by his predecessor and Democrat Joe Crowley, facing his first significant challenge in years. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is preparing to accelerate his probe into possible collusion between Donald Trump's presidential campaign and Russians who sought to interfere in the 2016 election. According to a person familiar with the probe, there could be possible indictments related to collusion by the fall. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders is speaking out publicly about what happened when she visited a Virginia restaurant over the weekend. Sanders was asked to leave the Red Hen restaurant in Virginia because she worked for President Trump. Sanders says healthy debate on ideas and political philosophy is important, but the calls for harassment and push for any Trump supporter to avoid the public is unacceptable.
A Hollywood actor publicly encouraged people to kidnap my children. And this weekend, a member of Congress called for people to push back and make clear to those serving their country and this administration that they are not welcome anywhere, anytime, for anything.
Democratic Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
No one should call for the harassment of political opponents. That's not right. That's not American.
California Congresswoman Maxine Waters defended her call yesterday for people to confront Trump administration officials in public places, but insists she has not urged supporters to harm anyone. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees and Mets split their outcomes on Monday. First, the good news as the Yankees ended a season-long three-game losing streak.
Pitch to Judge. Swung on and drilled to left. Down the line, and it is gone! A bullet line drive right next to the pole. A Judgian blast. What a bullet sailed into the first couple of rows.
John Sterling, Yankees radio. New York beat the Phillies 4-2 to open a three-game set. It's Judge's 20th of the year. Story of the game was another rookie pitcher, Jonathan Loaisiga, who went 5 2/3, allowing one hit while fanning eight. He impressed Aaron Judge himself.
I expected he's going to be really good if he's skipping AAA, you know, and that's what we're seeing so far. You know, he goes out there and just his demeanor on the mound is the biggest thing I'm noticing, man. No situation is too big for him. He's challenging hitters. You know, he's got great stuff, and he knows how to use it.
Yankees are a half game up on the idle Red Sox tonight. Boston hosts the Angels, while the Yankees remain in Philadelphia. Luis Severino meets Jake Arrieta. Mets dropped their seventh straight, falling 6-4 at Citi Field to the Pirates. Mets didn't do themselves any favors defensively, committing three errors, leading to two runs. Series continues tonight. Steven Matz on the mound for New York. World Cup, Uruguay wins Group A, while Spain captures Group B. Denmark meets France. Australia battles Peru beginning at 10 a.m., followed by Nigeria and Argentina. And Iceland takes on Costa Rica at 2. And the NBA handed out its annual Hardware. James Harden of the Rockets, the MVP, former Raptors coach Dwayne Casey, coach of the year, and rookie of the year is Philly's Ben Simmons. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Thanks, Rob Buschka. Soccer news. Telefonica has outbid its main rival, Mediapro, for the bulk of broadcast rights to Spain's top soccer league. It'll pay $3.4 billion for three seasons. The deal gives Telefonica direct control over La Liga matches starting in 2019. S&P futures down 5 points. And the sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work for your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. General Electric planning to spin off its healthcare business and divest its stake in oilfield services provider Baker Hughes. As Chief Executive John Flannery focuses the struggling company on power, aviation, and renewable energy. GE shares up 1.9% this morning. Meanwhile, futures this morning are now lower. S&P futures are down about 6 points. They were little changed for much of the morning. Dow futures down 52. NASDAQ futures down 9. The DAX in Germany is now little changed. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd yield, 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 27 cents to $67.81 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8%, down $10.30 to $12.58.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1661, and the yen, 109.66. Checking Bitcoin this morning, down 0.9% at $6,195. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a slate of primary contests across America today will again test President Trump's clout within his own party. Voters are weighing in on candidates in seven states, including South Carolina, where Trump appeared in a rally to help Republican Governor Henry McMaster. South Carolina and Mississippi hold Republican gubernatorial runoffs today. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is preparing to accelerate his probe into possible collusion between Donald Trump's presidential campaign and Russians who sought to interfere in the 2016 election, according to a person familiar with the probe. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, along with the Nationals and Orioles. The A's were winners. In the World Cup, Saudi Arabia and Uruguay won. Spain and Morocco ended in a draw. Iran and Portugal also ended in a draw. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. A day after GE agreed to sell its industrial gas business, the company says this morning it's doing it again. GE says it's fully separating Baker Hughes, and healthcare will become a standalone company. It also says it will maintain its dividend. Let's bring in Karen Ubelhart, Bloomberg Senior Intelligence Analyst, with more on GE. To be clear, these are not fire sales by General Electric, are they?
No. You know, the healthcare business is a very good business. It's a market leader in a number of products. The margins are, you know, high teens. It's a good business. I think that people thought they might sell some of it to sort of get a price for the unit. An all-out sale, I think this is sooner than expected. But it's a good business.
But if they're unloading businesses that have healthy cash flow, how's that going to help them achieve their final objective, whatever that is?
That's a very good question. I think it's going to take time, so they will have the cash flow for the balance of this year and probably into 2019. They're going to get $15 billion in cash, but because they're going to sell 20% of it and only spend 80, so they will get a reasonable chunk of cash out of that business. Unlike selling transportation, where they only got $2.9 billion in cash out of it, so that will help the cash flow concerns. I thought they'd keep the two good businesses, probably keep power, and maybe sell a piece of healthcare and eventually get out of Baker Hughes.
As they monetize assets, I mean, I guess that's the one of the objectives here. How does that reshape the final objective, wherever they're going from conglomerate to whatever it is they want to be in the future?
It's just, I mean, right now they're in seven businesses. Only four matter, power, healthcare, aviation, and to a lesser degree, the energy business, which they're definitely getting out of. At the end of the day, they'll be in power and renewable energy, which are related, and they feel defensively they need to be in renewable energy and aviation, which is a terrific business. So they're certainly going to be simpler. It also, but then you'll get the question, it makes no sense that those two businesses are together. So at the end of the day, they may be separated.
Okay, so what, in the meantime, what are they going to do with the money?
They have a $30-plus billion pension liability that they have to deal with. They have another $10 billion or more that they have to pay down for this insurance liability that, you know, surprised us all about 6 months ago. So, you know, they've got some cash flow and liability issues they've got to address. And I think that's where a lot of the cash will go in the short run.
Okay, I mean, is it enough?
You know, they've got another $23 billion if they sold all of Baker Hughes, you know, and then the chunk they get from healthcare. And, yeah, I think it starts to add up. I think it will be enough. But Baker Hughes is going to be sold over time. You know, July 2019 is when they can sell a piece of it without getting approval. They could sell earlier, but they want to wait for further recovery in energy. So that'll probably be a 19 event, and they may sell it in a couple of steps. But that's another chunk of change at $23 billion at the current market value.
Karen, the dividend payout was sliced in half last year, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
But is it still too high compared to some of their peers?
It is if you look at yield right now, given how depressed the stock price is. But, you know, my feeling was he was going to really try to, hang on to that. And now they said in the recent news today that they're going to hang on to the dividend through the healthcare spin, and then they'll adjust it to its smaller, you know, it's going to be a much smaller company. So they'll adjust it at that point to reflect what GE looks like at that time. So I think that risk is lifted for now.
Well, what's the time frame for the end game, where they want to be?
My personal feeling is, you know, power's still a big chunk of GE, and now it's about to become an even bigger chunk of GE. And that's got structural issues. I think it's going to take 2 to 3 years to fix power. They may stabilize it in the next year with cost cutting and, you know, reducing inventories and working capital, et cetera. But they have to downsize it. I mean, there's a third of excess capacity globally in big power, like the large turbines. That can't happen overnight.
And remind everybody, today's an historic day for GE. 111 years in the Dow Jones Industrial Average as a component. That all ends, right?
Yeah, yeah, today's the day. Perfect today's timing the day. On the announcement, I guess.
That's because of the crummy stock performance. Today, however, investors are greeting the news. They like it. It is up 2.5% in the pre-market. Karen, good to talk to you, as always. Thanks a lot. Karen Ubelhart from Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. GE this morning telling us that fully separating Baker Hughes and healthcare will become a standalone company. They will maintain their dividend. This is Bloomberg.
Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. General Electric shares up more than 2.5% in early trading. GE plans to spin off its healthcare business and divest its stake in oil field services provider Baker Hughes.
U.S. futures are lower once again following yesterday's sell-off, which saw the S&P 500 drop 1.4%. Michael Hewson, a market analyst for CMC Markets in London, blamed the market turmoil on trade tensions between the U.S. and China.
I think the big question at the moment is who speaks for the Trump administration. We had these initial reports of restrictions on Chinese investment. These were subsequently clarified by Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. And then we had Peter Navarro come out and say that actually we weren't probably going to get any restrictions whatsoever. And I think at the moment the uncertainty that we're getting from the Trump administration is causing markets to and fro quite aggressively. And I think the markets would welcome some form of clarity from Trump officials.
Michael Hewson of CMC Markets. Stocks in China have entered a bear market. The Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.5% at the close, taking its loss since a January high to more than 20%.
The maker of Jack Daniel's will have to raise prices for American whiskey sold in the European Union following the implementation of a 25% tariff. A spokesman for Brown-Forman says the higher prices will translate to about a 10% increase at the customer level.
Shares of Spectrum Pharmaceuticals are up more than 10%. Sources tell Bloomberg the biotech company is exploring options, including a sale of the business, amid takeover interest from other drug makers. And it is coming up on 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your Volatility Index report. The VIX surged as stocks sold off on Wall Street, the index closing at 1733. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently up 0.8% at 1747. That's this morning's Volatility report.
And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 7 points. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures down 9. The DAX in Germany, little change now. CAC in Paris up 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% on 22 cents to $67.87 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8%, down $9.80. At $12.59.10 an ounce. The euro lower against the dollar at $1.1664. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. Ahead of the latest midterm primaries, the president stages another campaign rally. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Voters in New York, Maryland, Utah, Colorado, and Oklahoma head to the polls today for primaries. New York voters will settle two of the more contentious intra-party battles of the congressional primary season, with incumbent Republican Representative Dan Donovan under threat from a bid by his predecessor. Donovan is up against former Representative Michael Grimm, who served 7 months in federal prison for tax evasion in 2016. Grimm is trying to reclaim his old seat from Donovan in the 11th Congressional District that includes Staten Island and part of Brooklyn. Democrat Joe Crowley in Queens' 14th Congressional District is facing his first significant challenge in years. He's up against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. In West Columbia, South Carolina last night, President Trump campaigned for Republican Governor Henry McMaster ahead of today's runoff against businessman John Warren. Trump also says he's taking action to deal with unfair and discriminatory trade.
In China, if you sell a car into China from the United States, they charge you a 25% tax. If China sells a car into the United States, we charge them 2.5%.
Mississippi also holds a runoff election to decide the Republican gubernatorial nominee. Democratic Representative Maxine Waters pushed back against President Trump, saying she was not calling for people to harm his supporters, as he tweeted earlier in the day, but to publicly protest his cabinet members.
I believe in peaceful, very peaceful protests. I have not called for the harm of anybody. This president has lied again when he's saying that I called for harm to anyone.
It comes as White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders is speaking out publicly about what happened when she visited a Virginia restaurant over the weekend.
Many by now have heard that I was asked to leave a restaurant this weekend where I attempted to have dinner with my family. My husband and I politely left and went home. I was asked to leave because I work for President Trump.
Sanders says healthy debate on ideas and political philosophy is important, but the call for public harassment is unacceptable. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees with an impressive bounce-back win after being swept in Tampa Bay. Giancarlo Stanton picking up where he left off.
And the pitch is chopped high. Base hit over the shortstop's head. One run scores. They're sending Judge. The throw is not in time. And all the way to second goes Stanton.
Yankees radios New York beat Philadelphia 4-2 at Citizens Bank Ballpark to kick off a three-game set. Stanton followed his 5-for-5 game in Tampa, going 2-for-3, raising his average to .266. Rookie pitcher Jonathan Loaisiga, who, remember, skipped AAA, improved to 2-0, throwing 5 scoreless, striking out 8. Skipper Aaron Boone's impressed.
I think everyone got a little peek at, you know, why we're so excited about him. He pitched really well, gave us just what we needed to be able to turn it over to our three guys that we knew we had available, and we knew we might have to push them a little further than we're used to, and all in all, just a really good bounce-back win for us.
Series continues tonight. Your marquee pitching matchup in baseball, Luis Severino faces Jake Arrieta. The Mets committed 3 errors, leading to a pair of runs and a 6-4 loss at Citi Field to the Pirates. Seth Lugo, the tough luck loss. He's now 2-3 on the year, yet having a sub-3 ERA. Steven Matz will try and turn it around tonight. The Mets have lost 7 straight. World Cup, Uruguay wins Group A, Spain Group B. Denmark faces France opposite Peru and Australia at 10 a.m. That's followed by Nigeria and Argentina and Iceland and Costa Rica. That's at 2. And the NBA doled out its annual hardware. James Harden, the MVP, Ben Simmons, Rookie of the Year, and former Raptors coach, now with Detroit, Dwayne Casey, Coach of the Year. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Rob Buschka, thank you. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Leaders of the European Union meet in Brussels this week to discuss the future of the Eurozone. In recent years, governments have strengthened the system, making it less likely that a crisis in one member state would jeopardize the currency area as a whole. Even so, they haven't done enough. Today there's a rescue fund, a tried-and-tested central bank, and the beginnings of a so-called banking union. But the banking union needs to be completed, and lacking individual exchange rates, the Eurozone needs better ways to absorb economic shocks, especially those that strike one or more countries but not the zone as a whole. Closer fiscal cooperation is also necessary, and if the EU one day renews its commitment to ever closer union, it will need to consider other, more far-reaching innovations. Yes, the system is stronger than before, and an impressive achievement, but it isn't strong enough to handle the next major crisis. Reinforce it now or risk seeing it swept away. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. The fate of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has been thrown into further doubt with a new ruling. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
A U.S. District Court judge in the Southern District of New York says the leadership structure of the CFPB is unconstitutional since the director cannot be fired at will, but the ruling is at odds with the D.C. Circuit Court decision upholding the structure. And Bloomberg Law's Evan Weinberger says it's not likely to be resolved by Congress.
Republicans and the financial services industry have all said that they'd rather see a commission structure like you have at the SEC or the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Democrats so far have no interest in doing that.
It's possible this could be bumped up to the Supreme Court to decide. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Nancy, thank you. Getting hungry? After McDonald's announced all-day breakfast 3 years ago, it gradually forgot about mornings. Overall sales have weakened in the U.S., market share has shrunk, and McDonald's has identified lost breakfast customers as the main culprit. Leslie Patton wrote the story for Bloomberg.
They rolled out all-day breakfast several years ago, and that was a big success for the company and a big hit for them. It brought in a lot of people. But then afterward, they kind of forgot about breakfast a little bit and kind of forgot to talk about it after this big all-day breakfast push. And the company has come out and said recently, that was a mistake. We pretty much screwed up.
Now the world's biggest restaurant company plans to fight back with discounts, breakfast catering, and a ploy lifted straight from a 1997 Seinfeld episode selling only the tops of muffins. I'm getting hungry. Anything with cheese, please. S&P futures down 6 points. That is 0.25%. Dow futures down 50 points. NASDAQ futures down 6 points. The 10-year yield, 2.8748%. And check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. It's 24/7 news streaming live on Twitter. Follow us at TikTok. That is TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective no-K1 commodity ETFs. Visit GraniteShares.com for more information. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC. U.S. stock index futures moving lower this morning while shares of General Electric are up 3.9%. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are trading lower after yesterday's sell-off, with Dow futures down 38 points, S&P's dropped 5, and NASDAQ futures declined by 2. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.88%, and Shanghai fell 0.5% overnight, where European markets are posting modest gains this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, Richmond Fed and consumer confidence. And regarding earnings this morning, homebuilder Lennar revenue beat estimates, and IHS Market also beat estimates. In deal news, General Electric plans to spin off its healthcare business and divest its Baker Hughes stake. Like you said, shares are trading higher by 3.9% pre-market. And wrapping things up, Intel was downgraded to underperform at Bernstein. AMC Networks downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs. The CBOE was upgraded to neutral at JP Morgan. And Micron also upgraded to neutral at UBS. Live from the First Bank News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, voters in 7 states will decide the value of an endorsement by President Donald Trump. Primary elections will take place today in Colorado, Maryland, New York, Oklahoma, and Utah. South Carolina and Mississippi will hold runoffs to decide the Republican gubernatorial nominee. Last night, President Trump campaigned in West Columbia, South Carolina, for Republican Governor Henry McMaster. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost, along with the Nationals and Orioles. The A's were winners. In the World Cup, Saudi Arabia and Uruguay won. Spain and Morocco ended in a draw. Iran and Portugal also ended in a draw. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, will former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer get in the talk show game? The New York Times reports Spicer is developing a talk show with the working title, Sean Spicer's Common Ground. According to the pitch sheet for the show, Spicer will host interesting and thoughtful public figures for a drink and conversation at a local pub. Bob, a pilot, is expected to be shot in July.
And it will be the largest audience ever to witness a talk show, period.
How'd I know you were going there? Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Secretary of State Mike Pompeo meeting this morning with his visiting counterparts from Norway and Qatar. And HHS Secretary Alex Azar testifies to the Senate Finance Committee on prescription drug prices. Also making news this morning, the Trump administration talks down the trade policy threat and helps calm the markets. Bloomberg News Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli joins us now to recap what we have learned from White House Trade Advisor Peter Navarro, and will it stand? Kevin, CMC Markets strategist Michael Hewson, who we're going to be speaking to in a moment, he says what investors really need is clarity on exactly who speaks for the president on this trade issue. Do we know?
It's not just investors who are seeking clarity. It's also lawmakers, including Republicans up on Capitol Hill, who are urging this administration to more clearly articulate what exactly the end goal is and how they are dealing with their negotiations on trade. Now, as you mentioned, just within the past 12 hours, we've seen pushback from widespread reports, including from Bloomberg, that the U.S. was looking to put investment restrictions against the Chinese. Now, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, as well as Trump's senior economic advisor Peter Navarro, saying that that's not the case. However, there has been talk for quite some time, I can tell you, about how this administration is going to be using CFIUS, or the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., to restrict investment from the Chinese into U.S. markets.
And then there is the special counsel's Russia investigation. Remember that? We're hearing some fresh news on where Robert Mueller is focusing now.
Yes. So this really is interesting, particularly when you look at it through the political lens of the midterm elections, because everybody wants to know, when is Bob Mueller's investigation team going to reach a conclusion? And there's some great reporting by my colleague Shanna Pettypiece up on the Bloomberg this morning that suggests that there could be indictments ahead of the midterm elections. That poses significant political risk, particularly if you're outside of Washington trying to gauge whether or not Democrats are going to get the upper hand and take back the House or not. And obviously that has widespread policy implications, because really Bob Mueller is operating on his own timeline and his own timetable. And it could potentially either mobilize the far left or the far right to get to the polls should he make some type of play ahead of the midterm elections.
And Republicans on the Hill are trying to pass some sort of immigration legislation. Where does that stand?
Well, outgoing Speaker Paul Ryan was very pessimistic about the chances of a new immigration bill that will likely get a vote on the House floor within the next 24 hours. That said, you know, you talk to some Republicans who are satisfied, who have been holding out because of what's known as the E-Verify system as part of immigration reform. This actually might get some push, but the outgoing speaker is saying don't bet on it, and President Trump tweeting at the end of last week for lawmakers to move on. But clearly immigration is still very much on the minds of all lawmakers up on Capitol Hill, given the separation issue between children and their parents.
Bloomberg News Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. John Tucker?
And let's bring in our first guest this morning, Michael Hewson. At one point yesterday, S&P 500 was down over 2%. So what's an investor to do with all this rhetoric on trade and the lack of a simple message coming out of Washington? Michael, do you just stick it in the mattress or what?
Yeah, I think that's a question that an awful lot of people are wrestling with at the moment. But I think if you listen to the hyperbole, if you listen to the rhetoric, you'll never make an investment decision. And for me, I think it's all about the price action. And at the moment, the trend for stock markets is generally higher. We're still above the March lows. We haven't fallen off a cliff. And I think to a certain extent, while there has been a little bit of panic, particularly in European markets over the past few days, US markets are still holding up fairly well. The S&P 500 is still well above its 200-day moving average at 2680. That's what I'm paying particular attention to. And also on the FTSE 100, again, we're above the 200-day moving average there. So I think for me, it's really to try and look past it, because we're going to get more of it, and really depend on whether or not that position changes ahead of July the 5th.
Are you nibbling today?
I had a little bit of a nibble, yeah. We're seeing little bits of nibbles, particularly in the FTSE 100. Not so much on the German DAX. That is still hovering around the flat line. There's still an awful lot of caution about European automakers. Obviously, you've had those reports with Harley-Davidson relocating some of its export business, which is not surprising, really. You've got to really factor in some form of contingency planning there.
You got to remember, Harley does produce a lot overseas. That's always been the case. But as the stories kind of hit home, does that change the rhetoric any? I mean, the complaints from our trade allies doesn't seem to have any impact. But when you start hearing from workers in middle America that maybe their jobs are being threatened, does that change the rhetoric from the White House, do you suppose?
I think it will have to, but at the moment, President Trump's approval ratings are still on the rise. And I think while that is the case, I don't think he's got any incentive to pare back the type of rhetoric that is coming out of his administration. And I also have to question whether or not it's a deliberate tactic on the part of the Trump administration in terms of giving out these mixed messages to try and keep his opponents off balance. But ultimately, I think that can also have a negative effect on investment sentiment and business decisions, because ultimately what will happen then is that companies will delay investment decisions because of the very discordant narrative that's coming out of the Trump administration.
Well, why is this having an impact now, and it didn't necessarily have such an impact before trade tensions?
Well, we've seen a big rebound since the March lows. We saw a big sell-off at the beginning of the year. We've seen a decent rebound. We're now seeing some money come off the table, and I think that's really wise as you pare down the size of your positioning to, I think, really take into account some of the ratcheting up of rhetoric. And also, we're coming to the end of the month. We're coming to the end of the half year. So I think there's potentially a little bit of portfolio readjustment going on, as well as investors look to lock in some of those profits that we've seen from the rebound since the March lows.
Have you been surprised by the reaction of gold, just to change the subject a little? It doesn't appear to be acting as a haven asset anymore.
No, it's not, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm not as concerned as potentially I might be. But I think there's also the fact that cash, or U.S. cash, now has a value. So I think with interest rates around about 2.5% on the two-year, gold isn't as attractive.
Michael, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Michael Hewson, market analyst at CMC Markets, joining us from London this morning. Karen.
John, thank you. We continue to watch shares of General Electric up 4% right now. It does plan to spin off its healthcare business and divest its stake in oil field services provider Baker Hughes. This comes as Chief Executive John Flannery focuses the struggling company on power, aviation, and renewable energy. And we will continue to watch that story. And shares of GE again up 3.9% right now in early trading. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.